Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. I have a special guest here is Lieutenant Robert Paparo. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You totally did. And all right. Many of people messed that up a lot. So thank you very much for that.
You are quite welcome. And he's with the City of New Brunswick Fire Department in New Jersey. And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Donnie. Appreciate it. And again, thanks for pronouncing my last name right. That's why I go by Pip. Please, it's Pip from now on, though. There's Robert Paparo was what the nuns called me in grammar school.
So. Well, I promise. We're on Zoom. If we were next to each other, if you didn't say something right, I'd have to slap your knuckles with a ruler. I
mean, that happened a lot too. I'm that old. I may not look it, but I'm that old.
Well, tell us a little bit, Pip, of obviously lieutenant in the fire department. Tell us a little bit about your work there, but also I know you have some other professional interests as well. You could go into a little bit of that too.
Yeah, you just don't jump on the Central Jersey fire lieutenant, right? Be like, come on my podcast, right? But that's what I do. I've been with the City of New Brunswick for 17 years now. Just finished my 17th year, I guess. And I've been a lieutenant for the past six, so that's been an experience for sure. I'm assigned to our engine company one, so we're moderately busy. It's a smaller department. We run three engines and a truck, occasionally a rescue. Come here, buddy. Sorry, that's my puppy angry with me here. Let me grab her. But, we have a lot going on in New Brunswick where we have Rutgers University, corporate hub for J&J. So, right now it's big talk because their COVID vaccine is about to hit the market. So, yes. That'll probably be a large announcement in our city there. And prior to that, I was a volunteer firefighter for about 5 years here in Jersey. I also worked EMS. I started my career, I guess, or my EMS career at 16 as an EMS cadet. And I worked full-time EMS. And I also worked as a dispatcher as well for a few years there before going to the fire service. So it's always been exciting for me, something I love to do. Very proud to say I'm a second generation firefighter. Even prouder to say my father has been retired for 29 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was sort of a mistake baby. They tell you you're a surprise, but you really were a mistake. So they had me later in life. My pops Russ is going to be... he's in his 29th year out now. So more years out than in, which is the goal for everyone, right?
Wow. That and with the statistics today, that's he's driving up the number.
He's totally, he's killing my pension. I mean, he's literally taking all my money that I put into my pension. I tell him, I go to work so you can collect a pension right now, Dad. You should be paying me more. But it's even, kind of wilder to say because growing up with my father on the job, they didn't live the healthiest of lifestyles, let's say, which is very weird as to the opposed to the way I sort of am. Yeah. But my dad, for most of his career on the line, there were no air packs. He went on the car right around the same time air packs started becoming more popular. So he barely ever wore an air pack in a fire. We talk, and I'm sure we're going to get into this with physical fitness and mental health and things like that. Their mental health was a trip to the bar, and lots of cases of beer. I mean, my father worked in the fire service during a time when drinking at the firehouse was commonplace, let's just say.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird that he is in this, he's made it, he does have some lung issues, but that's to be expected.
Who doesn't at that age, right?
Yeah, right, almost. And so my father too, he loves when I talk about him on a podcast, so he'll listen to this for sure and be all happy. Yeah. But he also, as all firefighters, have a side gig. Mine was working EMS until this other thing appeared in my life. But he was a mechanic, an auto mechanic. So when we talked to his pulmonologist, think about literally the two worst careers for your lungs, 60s, 70s, 80s, and he even works into the 90s in both jobs. So 60s, 70s, 80s, there was no exhaust systems in these garages he was working in, you know what I mean? So really, like strongest lungs ever is the easiest way I could say about Russ.
Yes. Yeah. Now tell us, you mentioned a little bit about fitness. Tell us about the other endeavor. You do a little bit more than firefighting, correct?
This is true. And I didn't ever plan to go down this road. You know, I was always into fitness. I describe myself as not your common firefighter, you know, standing at a whopping 5'2", 135 pounds, as the guys at work like to joke, that's with all my gear on. you know, I took fitness as a priority because when I was testing to get a job and I was all over the country, I started to realize like, wow, some of these dudes are really big and I may need to pull them out at some point. You know, and working EMS, the same thing, you know, we were carrying patients up and down stairs, you know, I had to be strong to do these jobs. So I really started working out, testing was all kinds of different fitness just to try to get the job. And then when I got hired, I felt the same way that I was really going to need to have a higher fitness level. So I got into all forms of fitness, Donnie. I've run marathons, you know, I ran the Disney marathon. And it's funny because I have a lot of friends in Texas and right now Texas is buried in snow.
Yeah.
And the year that I ran the Disney marathon, it snowed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Disney cannot control the weather and it was not the happiest place on earth when it snowed. I literally froze or finished and my shoulders on my hooded sweatshirt that I never took off, like my throwdown sweatshirt that I had, were frozen. Like I had shoulder pads of ice on my shoulders. I was definitely a borderline hypothermic, if not hypothermic.
At the end of that
one. So I've done triathlons. I've swung kettlebells. I got heavily into CrossFit when that kind of hit the scene locally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led me to a small Facebook page called 555 Fitness. And at the time, the founder is a captain in Fort Worth, Texas. On Facebook, he was putting out CrossFit style workouts and basically asking people, are you fit enough to do this job?
Yeah.
That alone just kind of like, that was it, man. I was in and ready to rock on this. And typical guy from New Jersey, I started to complain about his workouts on social media. this is going back almost, I guess around 8 years ago now. So, you know, social media was a very different place, you know, like, yeah. And my complaints weren't, hey, your workouts suck, dude, or you're the worst firefighter ever. It was like, I can't do these workouts because I didn't have CrossFit style equipment in my firehouse.
Yeah.
At the time we had a rowing machine someone took the monitor, broke off of it and was just gone, the whole arm with the monitor, but you could still row. You know, I just talked to a firefighter yesterday that said that the treadmill motor's burnt out in his firehouse. So he just pushes it. So instead of doing like a 5K, he'll just go for 5 minutes and he's good to go for that.
Yeah.
But it was that kind of a story, you know, those types of stories. And we became fast friends. And he asked me if I wanted to partner up because he wanted 555 to be more than a Facebook page. He wanted to make it a not-for-profit. He wanted to give fitness equipment to fire departments through a grant program. And mind you, we had no idea what we were doing at the time. Mm-hmm. It was just like, this sounds like fun. Let's try it out. Like, right? Sure. So we got a little startup cash as a donation from a friend of his. We filed for our not-for-profit and we went to work, putting out workouts every day on Facebook and Instagram, you know, becoming kind of that call for change. And I'm really proud to say that you know, we've grown to the level where we now have 100,000 social media followers. Across all the platforms there. we still put out free workouts every day. Last year we were able to give over $50,000 worth of fitness equipment away to not just fire departments, but now EMS organizations, police departments. We've had dispatch centers apply for our grant. And I'm pretty sure we had a lifeguard station. I really want to give one to a lifeguard station because I kind of want to go to give them the grant type beach thing. But, yeah. You know, we never knew what was going to happen when we started this thing. And it's just amazing at how many people we've connected with and how many people who say we've changed their lives and how our lives have changed because of it.
Oh, yeah. That is wonderful. Now, tell me about some of the other hats you wear in life. Family?
Sure, of course. So I'm married. My wife is a physician assistant. So we did the typical, she was working in the ER, I was working EMS, and that's how we met type story. Like you hear so often for someone in emergency services married to someone in the hospital. We have two boys. Finn is 10 and in the fifth grade, and Declan is 8 and in the second grade. So that has been a unique time this past year with my boys home lot more than normal. And, you know, dad's home a lot too, because of work. You know, we work New Jersey is blessed. I'm blessed. We work a 24/72 schedule, which is the, I guess, best firefighter schedule going from what I hear. So a lot of times with the boys. What else do I got going on? I got a lot of things because 555 opened doors for me, like I said earlier, that I never thought it would, into the fitness community, into sort of this motivational community that I know you're really involved with too, but I never pictured myself as being someone that could motivate others. Yeah. But it happened, and I'm still not sure how it happened. And I still tell people, like, don't go listening to me. Like, I'm just telling you how I see it. I don't have any answers or anything like that, but it's been really unreal. So that takes up a large portion of my time for sure.
Oh yeah. Now tell me where are the boys now?
So Finn, this is another great story here. Finn's home right now. He's in the other room in social studies class.
Okay.
For us, fifth grade is middle school. It's his first year of middle school. He has been, so for this year, he's hybrid. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he would be home, and he goes to school Thursdays and Fridays.
I see.
We are switching that. So today is his last Tuesday home. On Monday, he goes 4 days a week. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, with the hopes of going to 5 full days in March.
Yeah, well,
which is awesome. I'm very excited. He is very excited. And we have a great school district here who's been very, I feel like, progressive when it comes to all of this involved and very open. And I mean, I've learned of their struggles, you know, as being a school district. You know, they've been very forthcoming about, you know, what do we do when a fifth grader is signing into Zoom but not being in the class? You know, and they've explained about talking to DFIS, to Division of Family Services, about what rights they have to say, is this child abuse? Is this not? You know, just things that no one ever thought. So we've been really, really fortunate, and I feel like they've done a great job.
Wonderful.
Little plug for the Upper Freehold Regional School District there.
That's right. There you go.
My little guy, Declan, who's in the second grade, he was diagnosed with dyslexia the end of his kindergarten year going into first grade. So he has an IEP, and what they did for the kids with IEPs that required pullout classes, so he's in what they call the learning lab, he's gone 4 days a week since September. There's literally four children in his class, and one is actually staying all virtual. So he's been going 4 days a week the whole year with virtual Wednesdays. which has been great for him in the second grade. And then our grammar school went to a 4 day a week schedule, I want to say in like November. So all the kids that want to go back have been back. So he's in school right now. We're still on half days too, but it's been awesome. And even the experience with Declan having dyslexia and last year, him coming home and being all virtual taught my wife and I so much more about dyslexia, how he needs to learn, the things I learned from his teachers about, I'm like, oh my God, I've been treating this kid the wrong way the whole time when it comes to education. And then even about myself, maybe possibly I had a touch of dyslexia when I was in school or something along those lines that no one noticed because it was, you know, a long time ago, let's say.
Yeah.
But it really... I feel like I've grown closer to him because of him being at home and just everything. So that's been a great part of this too. So that's a huge hat that I wear for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And the pandemic, it does have some upside on a few things.
It does. So not all of them for sure. I can tell you that much, but there are things that Dr. Donnie, like I had to look at it. New Jersey was extremely hard hit in the beginning. Yeah. And I mean, I'm telling you, I have friends around the world through 555, some that I consider my best friends. And some of these folks in the beginning, I'm telling them like how bad it is here. And they're like, well, what are you talking about, man? It's just like the flu and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, we went on a first responder job yesterday with a crew from Kansas because we had 200 FEMA ambulances have to come in and help us because our EMS system was so overwhelmed. And they're like, what are you talking about, Kansas? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not lying. Like, this is bad. We don't know what's happening here. excuse me. So in the beginning, it was so horrible. Everything was so bad, but I still had to find that positive to keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, and I think once people started to do that across the country, around the world, where, yeah, there were negatives, but you need to look at the positives. More time at home with your kids, more time to support your local community. The amount of landscaping I did in 2020, I personally did, my wife was a big help, the boys were a little help, was more than I've done in 17 years of homeownership. So like, but again, that's another thing that it just, I had to do something, right? You had to. So it's
good to get outside.
Well, that too. Yeah. I was done with the house. I mean,
yeah.
Especially in the beginning of homeschooling, and anyone who's a parent has to agree with me. If your homeschooling isn't better than it was last March, then you got to work on something with your school district. Because homeschooling in the beginning, I was like ripping my little mohawk hairs out. So we're going outside, boys. Grab the wheelbarrow, grab a shovel, and we're going to do something today.
That's right. That's right. Well, let me talk a little bit about self-care, because that's one of the things that I like talking about. Because with my research in work-life balance, Pip, is that I finished a study a couple years ago, is when I actually finished my PhD, was that I looked at five people that really took great care of their physical health, their psychological, their social, and their spiritual. And then I looked at, well, how does that contribute to work-life balance? You know, what were their lives like? And what it ended up being is that the study sort of revealed that if we put ourselves first and take good care of ourselves, we are better at taking care of others, like in our family. And also we're more effective in our careers. You know, and that led me to with what all that I do with first responders and teaching work-life balance and coaching and things like that, is that it came out to a definition of work-life balance that I sort of go by, and it's a pretty simple one. And it's, I ask people a question, and it is, are your day-to-day behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? And I tell people, I go, I'm not here to tell you what your priorities ought to be, but what I have found is that the people that take good care of their health, you know, it seems like that's a priority, because that's one of those things to where it's like, and we can drop the ball, and many of us have in a lot of areas of our life. But if we drop it in the health area, sometimes that ball doesn't get picked back up. You know,
like I could have got a PhD for this. Like you got a PhD have. For like, this is the definition of 555 fitness. So who do I apply? Where do I send the letter to say like, hey, PhD, I could do it, man. Because that is us. That's what we became without even knowing it. You know, yeah. if you take care of yourself, right, and you give some time back to yourself each day, physically. Now, we're in the beginning, I was definitely talking about lifting barbells. No lie. Like, hey, how much can you lift, bro? You know, lift fast and heavy. Let's go. This is life. But as I've learned, and as I've grown personally too, it's become so much more. And I constantly ask people that if you can take care of yourself, you are going to be a better provider. And isn't that what you want to be? You want to be a better firefighter. You want to be a better police officer, a better paramedic. And I don't just mean, you know, if you're a police officer, faster or stronger, or if you're a firefighter, able to, you know, breathe a bottle down more. I mean, in everything. Yeah. And I really hate to dwell on the pandemic, but I learned very rapidly during this time that, listen, if I'm not working out, I'm going to circle down again. And I've been down before, like you said about dropping that ball. You know, I've had bad things happen in my career, you know, involved with calls, involved with losing firefighters, involved with losing friends through 555. And fitness and taking care of myself, making me a priority, kept me from going way down into that spiral.
Yeah.
For yeah. Sure. And teaching people that, you know, and being able to, and listen, man, you got the letters for sure. And you put in the work. So I know you do it way more eloquently than I do with the science. And we all know to trust the science these days, but I can give it to you down and dirty. There's no denying it at all. It is the God's honest truth.
Yeah. Well, take me back to a little bit of that time. When was there ever a time where you felt like, you know, you mentioned it a little bit there, that you got out of balance? And, you know, if you think about your life and then, you know, what you said, some traumatic events and some calls, but how did you get yourself back up onto your game and feeling better and all of that?
You know, the definite number one for me is my ultimate support system in my wife, because she's been there through it all. I met my wife, or I shouldn't say I met, I knew her for a while before, but we kind of started dating about 4 months before I got hired. So I never got to be the single firefighter in the college town that I was hoping to be. I had Tracy with me there.
Has she heard that before?
She's heard that before. Oh, okay. She's heard that before.
I didn't know if I needed to cut that out.
No, not listening. When we started kind of dating, let's say, she told me she was moving to San Diego in 4 months. And I was like, yes, getting on a job in 4 months. Like, I'd already kind of been offered the spot, but it was just waiting. I'm like, perfect. She goes to San Diego, young single fireman in the city. Good to go. Have a good day. It didn't happen that way. She stayed. But, you know, she's been with me through it all. And, you know, with this story, however you want to say, you know, comes maturity too. And a lot of the things that happened early in my career, the bad things, I was definitely immature. I was young. I got hired at 25. And so she was there when I didn't really have the coping mechanisms. And that early coping mechanism was definitely alcohol. Doubt in my mind. You know, bad things happen. What do firefighters do? They drink. And problem was I was drinking way more than everybody else, even when some people probably didn't know what I was doing. Never that I was going to work drinking or anything like that, but it was definitely something she noted and some folks around me noted. So that's something that, you know, that's like my first checks and balances is her, you know, when she's like, you're off a bit, you know, when's the last time you worked out? Because now we both know, you know, like this is what I need. Go blast five finger death punch and back squat 280 pounds, Pip. You need this. You know, or go jump on that assault bike and wreck out 300 calories and complain like you like want to die, but this is what you need.
Yeah.
So I have that. I have some amazing friends who, again, you know, I mean, some that I work with, some that I met through 555, and that network of people who are a lot like me, they need that too. It's another checks and balances. But to get to that level, you have to first be honest with yourself. You know, you have to be willing to open up about this, because all too often we keep it inside.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really asks, you know, what's wrong. You have to tell someone that. So I think that's another big part of it too. Did I not answer the question, or did I answer the question? I always hate it when I do that with
long. No, you absolutely did. Let me take you back to the early coping mechanisms with alcohol, and sure. and your wife alerted you to it, you know, sort of brought it to your attention. You said some other folks too. How did you address it? What did you do?
So, you know, the alcohol was always kind of present, let's say, in my life, because I was young and that's what you did. The first time I ever addressed having any types of issues was after we had a line of duty death that I was on scene for. I unfortunately knew the individual and was one of the people that removed him from the building. And immediately following that, I started having nightmares, bad nightmares that weren't going away. So addressing that, I did go to my department's EAP, and it helped at the time, let's say. And I'm not going to say anything bad about my department. It was what they had at the time. It didn't solve the problem, but it helped. And it made it feel it was like a Band-Aid on the wound is a good way to put it.
Okay.
So I have gone through that. And then, you know, timelines are always rough when it comes down to it all. But then, you know, I still wasn't perfect. And I still was having some issues. And later down the road, I saw a counselor again after, you know, my wife and I had some issues. And that really was the aha moment of, wow, I need to address something, things that happened when I was younger, things that I was doing destructive to myself, and finding these coping mechanisms. And my wife will be the first person to tell you, one of the things that I did was I replaced drinking too much with running. So that addictive personality of like, you know, what I got back from drinking too much, or I went after drinking too much, I immediately replaced with distance running without even knowing it. And I was cranking out, you know, 20 mile runs. And I, now that I fast forward into to getting into this health and wellness community, that is a very common trait. There are so many people within the fitness industry that are recovering addicts of some sort for some reason whatsoever, because it's a healthy addiction, right? Right. It could go too far, but it's definitely a healthy addiction. Yeah. So that was definitely one of the ways that helped.
That's good. Very good. And then if I take you, if you think about like your priorities in life or guiding principles in life, what would you say your guiding principles are? Obviously fitness is a piece of it. But,
definitely one. Family is first.
Family
is
first?
No doubt. And family is the number one priority to me, whether it be my little family of four here and our dog Clarice, extending out to my parents, my siblings, my in-laws. You know, they are the number one thing that I do everything for. I kind of said before, definitely my children first too, because that was a life-changing experience in and of itself. Was, you know, everybody thinks they're ready to be a parent, and then you bring this boy home from the hospital with no instructions, you know what I mean? And that was life-changing for how I need to be. And there were a lot of things that I've learned through the years that I just relate to my children. So family beyond all things. And that extends to my extended 555 family, the people that are the most important in my life that do this with me and are on this journey.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And then how about from a spiritual or religious component? I heard earlier that you went to the Catholic school. Is spiritual wellness a part of your life?
It's not necessarily spiritual wellness. You know, my wife and I were both raised in extremely Catholic families, and they are still extremely Catholic. We are not. And when it comes to spirituality, I don't much prescribe to any one method of it, you know, or one belief set. I know there's something out there that is guiding me or is just causing these things to happen in my life, but I have no idea what it is. And I almost attest it to 555 sometimes, where giving back to 555 has given me more than I could ever get from it. You know, being involved with this not-for-profit and putting others before me. You know, we came up on social media, right? When I started this Instagram page, you know, there already been a Facebook page. I started Instagram. Totally different world than Instagram 8 years ago. I didn't even know what a hashtag was when I started the 555 Instagram page. And people laugh at me. They're like, you didn't? And I'm like, no, my wife told me that's what you do, like on Instagram. Uh-huh. And it's not about me. Even though you see my face a lot, or you see my picture a lot, or that's what I'm using to get the message across. For me, that social media medium is about helping others, because you never know who is watching. And with 555 and getting messages almost daily, and I hate tooting our own horn of people who say they saw so-and-so working out, or they met someone here, or they saw someone with a 555 shirt and it changed the way that they felt about themselves, you know? So there is definitely something out there bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
No clue what it is, but it is there. And we spoke about that on our phone call about the balanced numbers and seeing 555 places. Yeah. The Chick-fil-A near my town has its address is 555. But I know it. Lucky I can remember my own address some days, but I know the Chick-fil-A is 555.
Yes, we did have a great conversation about 555 for some of the folks that know that 555 is very meaningful to me. It's actually on my book, but that'll be a separate podcast when I go in.
Oh, we're gonna do a follow up with that, or do I get to be on that one, or no? Like, I can bring a lot of people on that one because this, again, it's this number set. It's crazy.
You know, that could be a podcast in and of itself. We'll call it the 555. Yes,
it totally could. We didn't name it either, and we'll save this for that other podcast. But my partner from Texas thought that it does have significance in the fire service, but really liked the ring of it. And for the past 8 years, man, I see those numbers everywhere.
Yeah.
My sister makes a joke because, you know, she's a wise ass like me. And she's like, you know, it happens twice a day, Rob, because she doesn't call me Pip because we have the same last name. Happens twice a day, Rob. And I'm like, shut your mouth. No one cares.
So, Pip, what would you say are your toughest challenges regarding work-life balance today? And are you challenged?
Yeah, I'm challenged just like the next person. You know, when I get these messages on social media, say of gratefulness, of gratitude, and you know, people saying they look up to me because what I've been a part of creating, I tell them all the time, I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. You know, I put my turnout gear on the same way you do. You know, we people didn't believe for a while there that I was especially in the fitness community, that I was a career firefighter. They thought that 555 was a business and that I was running it full time.
I see.
Again, going back to that, we'd no clue what we were doing. We should have probably named it the 555 Fitness Foundation if we wanted to be a not-for-profit. But that challenge is it. Work-life balance. Every day is a challenge. There's no easy days. There's no days off. If you're not, one of the things that attracted me, and I believe attracts everyone to an emergency services career, is that challenge that you never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
That's work-life balance. You need to be chasing balance, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I doubt we'll ever achieve it. Maybe when I retire and I'm sitting on a beach somewhere every day without doing anything. But if not, you need to challenge yourself. And I use the hashtag a lot of better than yesterday.
I like it.
I really believe if you can challenge each day to be better than yesterday, that's going to find that balance somewhere, right? Never makes sense because you're never going to do it, but that's it. That's my goal. And I'm always striving to be a better dad, a better firefighter, better lieutenant, better husband, better not-for-profit guy, you know, trying to lift one more pound. One more pound is great, right?
Yeah. No, so, I like that.
Chasing it, man. We're chasing it.
How do you, let's talk a little bit about the fire service in general. Yeah. Sure. Health and wellness. I'm sure you've gone to a few conferences here and there. You do the reading. You're part of the health and wellness movement in the fire service industry. Are we making progress?
Yes. I'm confident that we are making progress. Progress looks different for everyone though. Right. And it's mm-hmm. again, I do compare a lot of my life to fitness because, you know, I was a coach there for a few years and a few different gyms. So I've seen people make these changes and some walk into the gym and a month later, they're, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger-esque, and others I've seen take 2 years and move that needle just a little bit, but they're mm-hmm. making that change. So in my career, you know, I take a lot of things as positives. So if I think of my department as 100 firefighters, because that's about how many we are, you know, when I got hired, I would say 50 out of those 100 smoked cigarettes. Okay. That may be a lot. But you were definitely, I mean, I've smoked a cigarette in the firehouse before, you know what I mean? Or after a fire, not even knowing why. I just did it, right? That's what we did. Whereas now, 100 member department, if there's 10 firefighter or members that smoke, That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's progress, right? Now we may not have this robust, you may be surprised to know that the guy who runs 555 Fitness does not have this robust health and wellness thing going on in his department yet. But we do have something, you know, we have contracted with a private company and they come in once a week and share different things with us. So that's progress.
That is,
you know, and seeing other departments, you know, when we are looking to build a new firehouse, there's a gym specced into that firehouse.
Excellent.
Right now we work out on our bay floor, which is like, if you tell the folks who are of the cancer research and that, they go ballistic on me. And I'm like, I know it's bad, but my firehouse was built in 1924. There's no room for a gym. It's the bay floor, nothing. So what do? Do we take that away or not? You know, we just clean it more. That's what we do. So you see that as progress. So I think that's a key, is that we are making progress.
Talk to me a little bit about, what's that one saying? You can't outwork a poor diet.
Yes, that is one saying, that you can't outwork a poor diet, for sure.
So what is what's the food like at the firehouse?
First I always start my nutritional talk with this one. I am blessed with an amazing metabolism, my friend. So weight has never been an issue for me. So I like to always preface this with that, because it's just the truth. You know, I can kind of eat whatever I want to, but it doesn't mean that I do. And, you know, I can't speak to every department. I can speak to my own again. But I remember when I got hired, we used to have these vats of oil above our stove, which probably isn't safe to keep oil above the stove, but that's where we kept it, right? Because people were deep frying so much, we shared each other's oil.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to now, where I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, we never deep fry anything. We don't have that oil anymore. You know, I think we're all smarter about how we eat in general. You know, there is a very different, there's a very different rookie coming into the fire service than there was when I came in. And especially than there was when the senior guys, when I was there, came in. Mm-hmm. So we're being more health conscious. You know, we're realizing kind of like meat, carb, vegetable on a plate, you know, like let's try to do this a little bit healthier. Let's not deep fry. Let's not have the unhealthiest of meals at all times. So I do see that changing in a lot of departments too, because you see it on social media, people posting healthier foods. And you see a lot on social media now is the people who do the cooking sneaking things in that the other folks don't even know. You know, they're using avocado oil. you know, and I'm not saying like, you know, you should be making tofu for the guys in your station and the girls in your station, because they're probably not going to dig that. But you can do things healthier. And I see that as a big change. I also have a look into the law enforcement community and the EMS community, where, you know, you don't have a station with a kitchen. And I see way more folks in that community. And I know I did it when I was a paramedic. You know, I'm bringing my lunchbox with me with all my meal prep in there, because they realize that if you're not meal prepping and you're on the road, the medic trucks I worked on, we had stations, but they were very small. You know, you had a microwave. You were lucky if you ever got there. So I was way better off having everything for the day in case we didn't make it back to the station. Because if not, on a good day, I was a cranky paramedic by about 8 hours into that shift, let's just say. Like, I was that salty paramedic nobody wanted to deal with. If I didn't eat like I would normally eat by that point, you may as well have not even spoke to me at that. So you see these changes occurring, and I think that's a good thing too.
Absolutely, it is. And I think a lot of, you know, so many folks out there really trying to help with all of this and promote healthy habits. It's still a very difficult, strenuous occupation.
It's never going to not be.
That's right. That's right. Even more reason to take better care of ourselves, right? From the physical and psychological side. Now, today, if you experience, and hopefully, you know, when you experience a traumatic event, do you sort of is peer support something that's alive and well in your department? Or how do you guys work through some of those events that you experience?
So peer support is a newer topic for sure. And I guess I shouldn't say newer, but 10 years or so, maybe it's definitely starting to become the popular route, let's say, as opposed to, hey, call the EAP. Mm-hmm. So we do have a system in place with our state union here in New Jersey with the FMBA. And recently, I was not on the call, but my shift did utilize the peer support network. And they came in to speak to the members that were on the scene of a traumatic call. And to be honest with you, I was so impressed with the fact that it happened, that we utilized the service, because a lot of times in the emergency services community, these things are all offered to us. Great. Doesn't mean people use them.
Right.
You have to make that call. And we did, or they did, I should say. And this was the first time we went this route with peer support. We had done post-incident stress debriefing before. This was the first time utilizing this newer system. And you have your doubts. This guy's not going to participate, or you know some folks just the way they are. Turned out everyone participated and everyone had a very good experience with it. And after the fact, everyone was sharing that. So now, even though, I don't know, 9 guys participated in it,
mm-hmm.
90 other guys heard about that, you know, and heard of kind of the success of it. So I think it's huge. Being a young leader in my department, you know, with years to move up and come to continue, I see my group of middle level managers looking at this as a option way more. Yeah. I know for a fact, as a lieutenant, I've called the guys I worked with the day after, 2 days after a call that I knew was affecting me. We had one in particular a few years ago. We did not do any type of peer support, but we probably should have, looking back on it now. But I know that. I know I made a mistake where a young girl was murdered by an even younger boy. He was there on the scene when we were there. One of the guys on my crew actually ended up knowing that the you're not the victim, you're the responsible party, whatever, I can't think of that name right now, but the person who did it knew his father. I knew I was off. My wife knew I was off after that call. And I called and checked in on all of them, but I think probably looking back, had we had this peer support network, that would have been a good call to use, but I know that now.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking out for that. And I called and we still talk about that call. I guess, I don't know if peer support works a few years later type thing, but like, we still bring that up, you know, and yeah. I bring that up to the young guys that, you know, if you ever see something like that and it's affecting you, you need to let us know.
Yeah.
That this is something.
I would say most likely probably about 99% sure that peer support would very much like to be involved in something that's happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah. You know, and again, it's something we talk about and it's something that I was able to work through and I know they were, but it's just one more of those things that now we know. So having that change to me, it is unreal. You know, the conversations I have, I work in a double house. I work, it's engine and ladder. And the captain on the truck, he was in my wedding party. You know, he's been one of my best friends on the job the whole time. We just happened to be able to work together. The conversations we have as leaders are definitely way different than our engine and truck captain were having when we were rookies together. I can tell you that much.
Is that right? Well,
for sure. Making
progress.
That's it, right? And it's just that it's moving. You know, we like to say at 555, one of the reasons we stay involved and it's not this easy thing. You know, I think I told you on the phone, you know, this, don't start a national level not-for-profit as your hobby. That's my advice to people. Like, go bowling. But one of our main goals is to leave the emergency services better than we found it.
Yeah.
And I think by slowly moving that needle forward, that's what we're doing. It's not going to happen every day. It's not going to be this, no one may ever notice, or maybe a lot of people will, but as long as that's your overall goal, and I think that goes back to your work-life balance, you know, gives you that something to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up the podcast a little bit, I want to circle back a little bit. When you spoke about your wife, you said she is your ultimate support system. Talk to us a little bit more about that. How did you get it that way? How do you keep it that way? What's the secret? I mean, you know.
So I do host my own podcast, and I recorded one with my wife. We talked about the pandemic, but definitely the size up, I think episode 7, we're both there. And I think the best way I can describe that is we're not perfect. You know what I mean? Like we are both each other's checks and balances, and it's not this utopia marriage of roses and daisies every day. You know, when I'm not throwing rose petals at the door when she comes in, nor usually we're passing each other in the hey, I'm coming home from shift, she's going in for a hospital shift type thing.
Yeah.
But it's something that we definitely didn't realize in our marriage. You know, we've both been to counseling together too. You know, I talked mm-hmm. about going to see a counselor on my own. She's seen that counselor on her own, and we've seen her together over the years. And would I have thought I had problems in my marriage? Probably not, until I saw a marriage counselor and we talked to her about it. You know, there's someone, a professional on the other side of a couch listening to you and kind of telling you some things that you're like, ooh, I didn't realize that was such a big deal. Yeah. And we continually work at it. You know, we work at being parents. We don't agree on every way to raise the two boys, but we figure something out together. So I'm her support beacon and she's mine. It's not always the ultimate support beacon. We both have our own internal ones too. You know, I think that's what I'm trying to get at here is that, you know, you need that person in your life, but you have to realize that it's not perfection. Not always, and with the pandemic too, you know, she was on the front lines more than me. Mm-hmm. You know, she works in a hospital. And again, in New Jersey, we were really hard hit. And I like to equate it to, I now know how she feels when I leave for work. Mm. Because when you think about what it is we do, right? We go to the clubhouse. I know a lot of firefighters' wives around the country. I mean, we go to the fraternity, whatever you want to call it. When we leave, we go have fun, right? That's the firehouse is the best place in the world next to my own house. But our spouses, they bear the brunt of that. They're gone and may not come home. And our children too. And that's something that as a child of an emergency responder, I maybe didn't realize as much as I think my kids do because of the way we approach things these days. Mm-hmm. But when Tracy was going to the hospital, I was afraid. And I've never been that afraid in my life for her. Definitely in the beginning, you know, did you get exposed today? I mean, she was coming in through the garage, getting changed in the garage, you know, leaving her shoes in the garage, like running to take a shower. It was a really fearful time. And it caused a lot of stress on our relationship in how we raised the boy and everything. It caused stress and everything for sure. So we had to come up with those coping mechanisms for each other. And it's really interesting, but we used to maybe only like in the past in the past 4 years, we started working out together better. In the beginning, we had a coach. I was the coach and she was the athlete relationship. No bueno, no bueno at all, folks. Do not. Some people I know have a good one like that. We did not. It was like oil and water. Yeah. But we do a program called Street Parking. It's run by a couple, you know, a married couple. And there's a lot of scaling that goes on in street parking. And we both work out together now. And that is like our saving grace through the pandemic. Were those days we were working out together. Yeah, they did a thing, unbeknownst to them, the pandemic was going to come. It's also a garage gym program. So since I've moved to the house we're in now, I haven't coached anymore because I moved further away from my gym. So I've only worked out in my garage. Mm-hmm. I have a full setup out there, obviously. But this program is for people who want to work out in their garage. That's why it's called street parking. They did something called the Vault last year, where every Monday they released a workout. And if you did and logged 25 workouts, so 25 weeks worth of workouts, you got a free t-shirt. So who doesn't love a free t-shirt, right?
Right.
So I said that, and Tracy and I were already doing street parking program fairly well together. But I said, like, let's commit to doing this vault. Let's both get this t-shirt. Let's do it together, right? Yeah. We'll take this time, even because we don't get to work out together every day, but we'll carve it out. You have a week to do the workout. We can carve this one out. And we did it. And then the pandemic hit and it became even more important to do this. So not only did we do 25, then we repeated them and we did it again for the rest of the year, improved our scores on almost every one of those workouts. Like, we looked at each other after and I'm like, were you even moving the last time you did this workout? Like, in that competitiveness that we now have. So 2021 rolls around, street parking does their vault again. Now we have Finn and Declan out there with us. So we're on week seven, I think we just did. And they're doing these vault workouts with us. I told them they can get a free t-shirt too if they do 25 vault workouts. Yeah. But you know, those are some of the things that make us kind of right for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. And I love it too that you're involving the kids.
That's yeah. Cool. You know, fitness with your kids. Yeah, same thing during the pandemic where it's like, you know, my kids don't have gym class. What do I do?
Well, yeah.
Do a workout with them. Well, I can't. Yeah, you can. Your kids are. I've seen videos of three. I mean, I shouldn't say I've seen videos. I've done it with mine and I've had people bring their kids. There were we so you know, FDIC, obviously, in mm-hmm. Indianapolis, the show. Someone brought their kids to FDIC and all three of their boys had mohawks like mine. And I was so stoked. Like, we took pictures and I'm like, listen, boys, I want to give you all stickers, but you all have to do 10 burpees with me. Yeah. And they were like, 10, why don't we do 20, dude? Like, come on, you're Pip. Like, we're going to work out. I love working out with my kids. You know, you can scale it. You can scale your workout to get your kids involved for sure. Yes. And then they love every minute watching these guys. Like, I'm starting to think with the scores that they're turning in that I'm not giving them enough weight or making the workout. Like, I'm being too soft on them already because they're crushing us in these workouts, literally crushing us.
Hey, you mentioned the mohawk, and I know it's a podcast and people can't see, you know, like I can see, you know, because I wanted to ask you, you know, how do you get the helmet on over that thing?
So
what's the backstory behind this mohawk? There's got to be one.
There's really not. I just started doing it one day, you know. I just started wearing my hair in a mohawk. Like, so I've always been into punk rock music, you know, ska music, like just that kind of like nonconformity type thing. You know, I have a lot, you can't see them. I have, my body's covered in tattoos. I don't know. One day I was like, I think I'm going to do my hair in a mohawk. And my wife's like, really? I was like, sure. Why not? Like, why not? Let's try this. At work, only the front goes up. So they call it the Pip Kiss because you only see the front up. I don't do the whole mohawk when I'm on duty. But you know, years and years of training, good product. You have to have good product. you know, I shave my sides almost daily to keep the sides nice and tight. Now the joke is when the sides do grow in, cause I'm lazy, it's all gray. So I do this now. So my hair doesn't, I don't have grays in my hair. I can't stand that, but it's become this, I honestly, Dr. Donnie, like I can't get rid of it now because people know me around the world as the short dude from 555 from New Jersey. With a mohawk.
There you go.
But it's, and my kids laugh. Like, we've been around the country on vacation and someone's like, you're the 555 guy. It's like we went on vacation a few years ago and, you know, like strike me down, but I didn't bring hair product with me. I forgot to pack it. So I wore a baseball hat all day or all week, wherever we were, I just threw a hat on. And, my older son, Finn, was maybe like 7 at the time. And he's like, Daddy, do you know why no one recognized you on this vacation? And I'm not even noticing no one. I can't believe these things happen to me. And I'm like, no, buddy, why not? And he's like, because you had a hat on and not. And he had this little cute voice. And he's like, not your mohawk. Yeah. And I was like, like those things that you never know what your kids know, and that's what this one says. So now, like, if we're somewhere and somebody recognizes me, they're like, because now they're tweens, you know, soon to be 11, and the 8-year-old just follows his brother. Like, they just walk away. They're like, oh, Dad's talking for 20 minutes. We're gonna just go and do our own. Let me get on my phone or my iPad here because Dad's talking to some female firefighter in Canada. We're in an outside brewery. Here she comes walking over like, you're the dude from 555. So that's the Mohawk story. Sorry, it's not as good. Like, I didn't like come out of a building with my hair on fire.
That's very cool though. Well, let me ask you, Pip, is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have, or that you wish we could have spent a little bit more time on?
Well, definitely the thing is with 555, you know, we do give away a grant. Anyone in the continental United States, police, fire, EMS, lifeguard, dispatch center, park ranger can apply.
How would they grant. Get more information? Where'd be a good spot to go?
Best place is www.555fitness.org. We have a newsletter that you can subscribe to. That is by far the best way. We don't spam you every week. We are all career firefighters, paramedics, flight nurses with families. So we don't have the time to have a marketing email come out every other day like some folks do. But we are about to open up the grant application. It'll be open in March, towards the end of February, beginning of March, for the first round. We give away three this year. All of that information is on the website. Commonly asked questions about who can apply and what are things that get you knocked out. They are all on the website. We are firefighters. This is not a complicated grant process to fill out. What I can tell you if you're listening is we do look for quality though. You know, we look for people who are doing things now with minimal equipment. You know, we ask for pictures, and I've gotten pictures of like Globo gyms and firehouses, and I'm like, you have everything you need there. What do you need our equipment for? You know, we've gotten pictures of people using Gatorade cases as their, when they were bench pressing, they put the weight down on cases of Gatorade stacked, right? Yeah. Wow. See, you can't see the face you're making because it's a podcast, but yeah, you know, we've gotten pictures of crazy things that you're like, oh my God, I thought I had it bad. And you know, what really pains me is that fire department didn't win that year. Someone had a better grant application. I don't pick the winner. Independent panel of judges picks the winner. We take the names and locations off. So, you know, you're from Ohio. So if Ohio made it to the top five, you would be like, of course I'm giving it to someone from Ohio. You don't see that if you were one of the judges.
I see.
So we really try to keep it fair, and we've made some amazing friends, you know, through giving away the grant, from departments as small as 20 members to departments as large as a couple thousand members stations there. So it's been a ride.
Now, how does 555 raise money for these grants?
Excellent question. So we used to do our own t-shirt line. That just got to be way too much work for anybody knows trying to run an online business selling t-shirts. So we do solicit donations from, you can go on the website and hit the donate button. A lot of people on Facebook choose to make their birthday fundraiser for 555, and I cannot thank them enough for that. Those folks really do help us keep the lights on, as I like to say, even though we don't have a per se brick and mortar, we still have to pay to have a website. We still have to pay to send those emails out. And we also have some amazing partners. So we have a company called Born Primitive. They make fitness apparel. A percentage of all their Thin Red Line apparel is donated each year to 555.
I see.
We work with a lot of firefighter-owned companies. They're all listed on our website. We have a company that you could get a 555 fitness flag from or hat called West Broad Apparel. They're a firefighter-owned company out of South Carolina. So we have loads of partners. Muertos Coffee is another one. You can, when you buy Muertos Coffee in the drop-down menu, you can select 555 Fitness. So those corporate donors, and we have some amazing partners within the industry too, like Zoll Medical, MSA Globe are two huge sponsors of 555 Fitness. Dingus Fire Equipment is another one. So we've been really fortunate throughout our years to be able to make these relationships. And that's beyond our fitness partners too, like Assault Fitness, Brute Force Training, Beaver Fit. They're all included in our grant donation.
Outstanding. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on?
I don't know. We talked about a lot of different things, you know, and I like that, you know, it's weird because we're Zooming with each other, but, you know, I see your face when I'm answering questions, and it's things like that motivate me. And when I was answering some of my answers to your questions, and I'm like, work-life balance. I'm like, God, that's like my life. That's what I do. Work, I live life, and I try to balance it all. And I think it's what we're all trying to do in life. Whoever we are, wherever we are in this journey, this road, whatever it is, you're trying to achieve that. I definitely don't think it's possible, but I want to keep trying. That's what keeps me going, you know?
And I'll tell you, that's what keeps me going is that it's, when I do my workshops, because I do half day workshops, and I'm actually doing next week, I'm actually back out doing live work.
Nice.
I mean, I'm super excited for that.
And listen, you just said it here, but right, for someone like you, someone like myself and my team on 555, we didn't even realize the positivity that being out and meeting people, doing what we do here with this type of motivation, when that got taken away from us, I would say about 3 months in, one of my other folks, she's from Ohio. You know, when you had reached out to me, you saw Bobby was from Ohio, but she was one of the first people to point that out. Like, this sucks. This was taken away from us. Like we, it was like our monthly recharge to be together somewhere every other month to be out meeting these folks. So I know right where you're coming from with getting back out there.
And it is, it's very rewarding, and it's very rewarding to, the feedback that I get with getting people, you know, my biggest, what I work towards is getting people to stop and pause in life and reflect on their priorities in life. And a lot of times when we do that, we find ways that, hey, we need to realign a few things and put a plan in place. One thing with firefighters and law enforcement, putting plans and executing a plan, you guys all do that very well. It's just a matter of putting the plan together.
You know? We do that very well in emergency situations for other people, right? Again, something I learned on this road here. Need to do that for myself.
Absolutely.
Didn't realize I was doing it through fitness when I was like, I want to run a sub 25K, right? didn't know I need to say like, I need to be a better father. How am I going to do that? What do I need to prioritize in life?
That's exactly right.
Jumping back to Tracy, you know, when 555 was really taking a hold of me, which it did, you know, this great thing, I went all in, man. I'm not gonna say that one, both feet all in. I won't say the vulgar one that I like to say about it, but like, you know, she brought me down a few pegs and was like, you need to start being present in your boy's life, not on social media 24/7, not answering the firefighter from Kansas's question when you're supposed to be playing firefighter with your boys or whatever. And that was a huge thing for me, but it was set that plan in place. And I set a plan in place. I got some more folks involved whose spouses hate me now because they got to that same level of, you know, you need to be present. But, you know, that was my plan. But yeah, we're great at helping other people. It's we forget about ourselves. And that's something that I speak a lot to too, that, you know, we are so awesome when it comes to helping other people. You do that at the expense of yourself.
Yeah. But we're going to turn that around though.
That's what we're doing.
Turning that around.
Folks like you coming in from the outside with PhDs, man, I love it because I'm like, God, that's a smart guy. He can help me. And in turn, I can help, you know, my other friends that just want to spray water on fires.
Well, I appreciate your time very much. I appreciate our conversation, and I appreciate you. Really do.
Thank you so much for having me, man. This was excellent.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.